Hey everyone, Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils, and you're listening to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, the Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils!
Backs against the wall, playoff hopes on the line, and this team drops three in a row and gives up leads in the third period and all three games. We just watched the Devils lose to the Rangers, which really was looking like something really good to take away from this year. Like, at least, you know, you go and but no. What's up, Bobby?
Not much, man. Just recovering slowly. I didn't think that our playoff odds got changed at all by today, but just the kind of the shock of it all, like you just said, the third period just not being able to hang on. Now, Rangers sweep the series. They actually showed some heart, some grit today for a while. You know, down four defensemen or two defensemen after playing last night. But, man, it's just this was it.
You know, to start the game, that was so much fun to watch. You know, just everyone, line fight, everybody just dropping the gloves and going at it. That was awesome. Rempe, I think McDermott got the best of him. I think he handled himself pretty well. And look, Rempe's a punk, you know, he's a goon and he'll be out of the league within the next 2 years. Like, he's a joke. How he plays, he'll never learn how to actually play hockey the right way. I don't believe that, but that's regardless. The guy's played three games against the Devils. He's played a total of 5 minutes and he's been thrown out of every game. He's a piece of garbage, but the Devils responded in that first right off the bat, 2 seconds in, you know, come back from two goals down, score three in the third, in the second. They look like, oh, okay. You know, they're skating, they're doing all the right things and they just couldn't hold on. And it's, you know, been the kind of the story of the last week or two. You know, I thought the Pittsburgh game, which we'll talk about, but the first two periods I'm watching this game and I'm like, I am loving how they are playing right now. And then the third period, a full and total collapse.
Yeah. So I wasn't loving how they're playing so much. I liked their opportunism. I thought that their shot efficiency was very good.
Well, I was talking about how I loved how they were playing in the Pittsburgh game the first two periods.
Oh, gotcha.
That's the game I was talking about.
Okay, good. Because this one, sure, they had some positive things going for them, but 12 shots, two periods in. When they did score, they were, again, shades of what this team can do. I mean, first of all, Mercer dropping the gloves.
That was fun
in
to
defense
watch.
Of that hit. That was great. The whole team doing that, but just the way those goals went. The first Jack's pass to Palat was otherworldly, coming over the line.
Broke and then Lindgren's ankles on that one,
right? And then Brass backhanded pass to Heischer was one of those things I've been saying all year. Like, it was with purpose. It was like with conviction. There was like almost a snarl behind his pass. You know, it was like meant to go in. And you're looking at those parts of the game, saying, "Wow, this is." These guys are showing up. This means something to them. And I think it still did all the way through the third period. I think that this team just is not capable of holding on to a lead.
Jack almost tied it up late. I mean, he went for that, you know, short side over the shoulder on Shesterkin and he
brass off the helmet.
And hit the back of the net. But, you know, that almost tied it up. But a couple of things that I kind of liked tonight was Palat playing with Nosek and Hughes. I thought that was a nice line, and at least you give Hughes a little bit of that size around him. And Palat, I mean, we haven't seen him do what he did tonight with burying that shot much at all this year, or since he's been a Devil. No. So, excuse me, that was nice to see. But it's just, you know, like with me, at least personally, like every – year you have a new team, and whether it's hockey, baseball, football, whatever, whoever you follow, right? And each team has an aura about them. And I'm not saying they got to go out and win championships every year, but there are just things that you really like about certain teams. You know, there is not much I like about this Devil team. Now, I could juxtapose that with last year, which there wasn't much that I didn't like about that team. But it's not so much you know, we've had a lot of personnel, especially on the back end turnover, but it's just more of, they have no heart. They really don't. They roll over way too much. When I heard the post game pressers from some of the guys after that Penguin game, and more than one of those guys used the phrase, "We played scared once Pittsburgh tied it up on us. We played scared." Now, I don't know about you, but if my hockey team says that they're playing scared, like, that's not a term you should ever use in the NHL. Like, yeah, you know, you still had, you know, you could still win these games. And that's the thing. Like, even though they tied it up, it's just tied. They need one more to win. You need one more to win. Go right. Get it. And they're just not capable of it. They're not capable of holding a lead. I don't know how much of this is the problem with coaching or with the players or with the lack of leadership on the bench or in the locker room, or how much of it's just between their ears. I don't know.
There's something about this season that I don't feel that they really deep down inside know they can get out of. Like, this is, we've said it before, this is one of those hard reset moments. Like, nothing's going to change. It's like the person who, you know, cannot physically better themselves until the stroke of midnight on New Year's. You know what I mean? It's just a mental thing. There's just no getting past where they are. And let's face it, there's zero chance now of making the playoffs. Don't give me a 2% chance.
I don't want them to make the playoffs like that. I had them out after the Buffalo loss on Friday night. I thought that was it. You know, if you cannot come out and play a hard game and win that Buffalo game, instead you go out and you play one of the worst games we've seen them play all year. Then you go to the Pittsburgh game. You played great for 40 minutes. So what? They tied it up. Go get it. No, you crumbled like blue cheese. And that's just it. To me, there's no joy on this team. Like, I feel like there's nobody on this team having any fun, even when things are going good. And I think they're a tight group. I think most of these guys are pretty close. And I think there is a nice tight core there.
Yes.
You know, I want to see an overhaul of so much, and it needs to start after this season, which can, in my opinion, cannot end soon enough. I agree. I'm done.
I was texting with some of our other guys tonight too. And I quite frankly, I need to be over. And I've never said that before. In all the years when they were bad, before the recent years where they started to, you know, where you saw the light at the end of the tunnel, I didn't care. I just wanted to watch them every game straight to the end. This is so infuriating and frustrating, emotionally draining. I really just kind of want it to be over.
The regression has just been like phenomenal. Like, I don't think anybody, any Devil fan, any NHL analyst saw what happened to this team happening. You know, and there's just so much blame to go around. And I just kind of, I'm so nervous about this team going forward, because I don't know who the real Devils are. I don't know if it was the 112-point team, or is it this team that looks like they're legitimately, after last season, you were thinking, they're there. They can be Stanley Cup contenders moving forward for the next 5 or 6 years. Then you come out and you don't make the playoffs, and it's like, this is unacceptable on kind so of, many
it,
levels.
Kind of feels like more than a step back, doesn't it? It feels like kind of a multi-level step back that could cause a lot of problems. I mean, I think that the core is there, of course. I think it's the construction of this team. I've been saying since the beginning that there's something wrong with. Hopefully that could be remedied with the right moves, full-on coaching change, you know, realistically, it's everything we've been saying. We need better help on defense. We need more consistent goaltending. They got to figure out what Jack Hughes' line is going to be, because right now it really does look like you could have a Heischer, Brad Meyer line. I mean, for years potentially, but you know, these things break up awfully quick. But this Jack Hughes left wing, nobody really with him. I just don't know what the future is going to be. I see a lot of changes needed, and I think, especially when you look at the bottom six, I think it's a mess, not to a man. Like, we've talked about, you like, you know, maybe Tierney's play, and I'm kind of saying, well, I'm indifferent to him. I haven't really seen much. And then maybe your counter is, well, that's good. He's just doing his job. And I get all that. But players like that, I feel like, You can kind of move one in, move the other out. There's just something not working with this group. And I think we saw part of it. Did you see all that going on? And this just happens in game, not to overinflate it, but with Timo Meier mouthing off the he's here after last night on the bench.
No.
There's a meme going around, I guess, or it's actually just a video clip, but Meier is basically yelling at him like one player apart saying, shoot the fucking puck. I don't know exactly where it was in that point in the game. And I think that's just shows Meyer's character, because if you look at what this guy's bringing lately, it's literally everything that we had hoped for. Really wants to win. He does not accept this season. He was hurt. He's everything he should be. And I have no problem with him getting vocal. I'm sure they talked about it in the locker room and squashed it right then and there. But it was basically two line mates that are saying, this is your opportunity. You got to shoot that puck. Like, this is, you know. So take it for what it is.
A lot of that with this team. You know, I mean, and maybe Jack's inconsistency this year has to do with the fact that he has kind of been this mainstay on line two with so many different guys throughout the course of the year. Like, you need to figure out what kind of player works best with Jack, and then maybe go out and get him if he's not in the lineup. And what you said about Tierney and guys like that in the bottom six, again, they're dime a dozen. You know, I have no problem with moving on, getting somebody, you know, younger, even if you have to pay a little bit more, like a true, you know, third, you know, bottom six guys that can chip in and stuff like that. You look at a guy like Jimmy Vesey, who we let walk out the door, and he's perfect. You know, that's the kind of guy you want, a high energy guy that can chip in with timely goals, and they go to the dirty spots and they do the hard work. Our bottom six guys aren't that. And now our bottom, like, we had Tierney, Nosek, who we went out and got to basically be our, you know, fourth line guy.
Yeah.
Now he's playing up centering Jack Hughes' line on the second line. Like, everybody is positioned wrong. Yes, all the things that need to get done. My biggest problem is I don't trust that Tom Fitzgerald is going to get it done. I mean, there were, like, to let, you know, in hindsight, I get it. Hindsight's 2020, but, and we thought, okay, Luke Hughes was going to be playing every game, but was it smart? We got Severson, why he's gone. I get that. He's at a big payday, but was it smart to get rid of Ryan Graves?
I absolutely, adamantly did not want to get rid of Ryan Graves.
No.
You didn't. I said at the expense of almost anybody else, I wanted to keep him on this team.
And in hindsight, you were 100% right, because we should have kept him. To have such a young D-core, it's great that you can look at it and say, yeah, but look how good these guys are going to be right now. But they in a couple of years, but they should not have been doing the things that they were doing all year. They should not have been the main defensive guys. They make too many mistakes. And the other thing this year, like, there is no, and I know you make your own puck luck and you make your own good bounces and all, but we have had nothing go our way. Like, you know, just go back to the tying goal. Like, Luke hits a slap shot, shatters his stick, and it's back the other way. Mm-hmm. And it goes in the net. And it's like, this is all the same shit we've been seeing all year. And I think the most important thing that Tom Fitzgerald's got to get right this offseason is the head coach and the entire coaching staff. Because if you believe that the guys that are in place, the core of these guys have what it takes, and you just need to kind of put a few pieces around them, your coaching staff is going to be everything. Because we bitched about it after Lindy Ruff got fired that this seemed like it was such a reactionary move when it shouldn't have been. It should have been a move that you had done a month prior, or at least you should have been on the phone trying to see, you know, if you can maybe replace them with somebody else. But no, it was like the pressure got too much. They went on that road trip out west. They looked like shit. It was just too much. You had to let them go. And then you bring and you just give the job to Travis Green. He's Lindy Ruff incarnate. You know, I mean, he is exactly that. He's doing the exact same things. I get it. He's moving lines around and everything. But my point is, they weren't responding to Lindy Ruff. They're not responding to Travis Green. You better get a guy in there that's not going to take any shit from anybody. And, you know, you want to go and win a Stanley Cup. It's about discipline. It's about working your ass off for 60 minutes for 82 games. It's about sacrificing yourself. It's about playing for the guy next to you. that's what makes a team. All year, we have not been a team. And that is a huge problem.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Again, it goes to the core construction and the values of this team. At first, when Green came out, you know, we commended him for the job he was doing. It certainly looked better. And it wasn't just the coaching change. The goaltending change was right around the same time. But the more it has gone on, the more, like you said, it just seems like the same blueprint repeating over and over again. I just for the life of me can't figure out, especially the Pittsburgh game, maybe more so than this game, why you can't change the ending of that game. You're in total control. You need every last point. There's a different way you can play that game. Look it up. It's been done a million times. Tonight, a little different with the Rangers in town. They were pressing. It was only a one-goal lead. So, and, you know, for what it's worth, again, in all honesty, back-to-back with major short benches totally started to favor the Rangers towards the end of that. I mean, Kako was all right. He should have stopped that third goal for sure. Maybe not, you know, the fourth, questionable. But the third for sure, that was the backbreaker. But the element that's missing is that pride, heart, something, yeah. Like just close them out. These weren't games that we didn't belong in. These were games that we could have strung together 6 points.
The whole system is flawed. And, you know, it's like I'm done with Jonas Siegenthaler. I'm sorry. I don't want him back next year. I don't want – we've talked about the defensive guys. You need to get some really – go out and get some grizzled veterans on the blue line, you know? I want guys like – that's why I was really in favor of a guy like Chris Tanev. Like, I wanted a big, physical, stay-at-home dude – that you're going to think twice about when he's on the ice about getting in front of the net and trying to, you know, screen the goalies. He's just a guy that can, you know, make you pay for those things. I did think Brendan Smith had a very good game tonight. He stepped up, but I don't want him on this team ever again after this season.
I don't want him on the team. And, you know, of course it was Smith to take a penalty late in the game, but really, I mean, bad call, bad break for him.
I thought there were a couple of bad calls in this game. I don't think Mercer should have gotten the instigator. Like, you see that 100 friggin' times a week in this league, and that guy never, rarely ever gets called the instigator.
They even said it on the broadcast. Normally after a penalty hit, they don't give the person instigator. It's what are you? So finally the Devils go ahead and stick up for someone like they should. I'll have them take that penalty every single day. But he actually gets penalized for it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's kind of ridiculous. I don't think he cared. I think it still resonated with the team. Unfortunately, it means nothing for this year. It's not going to galvanize the team now.
And, you know, I mean, I don't know about you, but when Luke chattered his stick and it was going the other way, I was yelling at the TV, take the penalty, take the penalty, dive on the ground, trip him, do what you have to do and take that penalty and just go and kill it for 2 minutes. It's a tie game. Or maybe that was the third goal. Was that the third one? Yeah,
that was the third goal. It was kind of a partial breakaway.
Take the penalty. And maybe you're not thinking that. Maybe he couldn't do it. I get all that. But that's what I think he was without a stick. Yeah, a stick shot.
He was without a stick. If he had a stick, he probably knocks that puck away eventually. He was stride for stride with him. You know, take the penalty there, of course, because that's one of those situations where you're almost taught take the penalty because then you still got on average, an 80% chance of killing the penalty, whereas a breakaway completely favors the shooter. So it goes from 50-50 to 80-20, right?
Yeah. You know, if you could have, you try and do that. I just think some of these dudes really need this team needs a facelift. It really does. The core guys are the core guys. I thought Jesper Bratt played great tonight. I thought Jack played good tonight. I thought Timo Meier played good. I thought Heischer played good. I thought most of our top six guys played good.
The people that were supposed to drive the team did, for sure. Yeah. And they played well, yes.
But, you know, there's just no synchronicity at all with this team. And I'll bring that back to even last season with Lindy Ruff. And, like, we bitched so much on this show about the constant boggle of the lines, you know, and it was like Dan's old gag was he throws the lines in, like, you remember the game Sorry or Boggle, and he just pops it, and then whatever three come out, that's who's playing together. And it's really hard to build consistency, to build you know, just that, to be able to gel in that way when you, and this season, it's just kind of, if everyone else, all the injuries, everything, they were never able to overcome any obstacle this year, you know, and that's an issue. Last year, I feel like they were able to, and part of that probably had a lot to do with some more veteran guys on the blue line, guys like Severson and guys like Graves and, you know, Hamilton being there, that brought that kind of bit of stability back there. So the guys, you know, skating, yeah, can just go and do what they have to do and score a bunch of goals and be superstars.
Yeah. So other than Hamilton in that scenario where you notice when he scores because he's there to score.
Yeah.
The other guys you mentioned, again, the veteran guys, will probably go unnoticed the simple play they might be making. Like, oh, they kept it into blue line and they just threw it up front. You know, because we, yep, came back a lot last year, scrambles in front of the crease, fighting for the puck. It wasn't always shooting out from the perimeter. They were nice, hard-working goals, and that starts from the defense in, getting those pucks filtered into the net.
Yeah, and the Devils have got to become a better forechecking team. The book on them is very simple, right? You clog up the neutral zone, you don't let them get their break-ins. You know, you can't let them get in on a rush and play physical against them. Those are the things that – and they're one and the same, right? Because if they weren't so weak physically, then they would have four checks going. They would be able to do the dump and chase and still sustain some offense, which I thought they did a little bit better tonight. But I'm just saying the consistency throughout the entire – like, you want to be a dangerous team, you have to be able to generate offense on the rush or on the forecheck. You have to be able to do both like Carolina does. Boston does and Tampa Bay does. However you want to play, will play and will beat you. Mm-hmm. And the Devils are not that. You get them off their game, they crumble. And I think a lot of that is going to come down to coaching. And I think that you have to have a hard ass in here. And I think this team, if the things are done right, I think this team could be right back in it next year. I don't have a doubt in my mind.
I 100% believe this team can and will be right back in it next year. A new voice is going to have a lot to do with that. You know, to your last point too about the way to play, they did mention on this broadcast that there were two teams that were in the top four in both penalty kill and power play, and it happened to be the Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes. And that speaks to exactly what you're talking about with the type of play, and be able to play different ways within different games. And I think the fact that they're both that high on both sides of their specialty teams is just kind of an extension of the way they play full on 5-on-5 and their game philosophy.
Yeah.
You get to a situation like that, I mean, you're talking two of the top contending teams for the Stanley Cup this year. They play slightly different, right? But like, my money would still be on a Carolina team. I just see them like a heavier team, like a more of a playoff team, but Rangers team is what, leading for the President's Trophy. So just goes to say how good you could play.
I don't think the Rangers are going to win the Stanley Cup. And I'm not just saying this because this is a Devil podcast and, you know, that's our team. I don't think the Rangers are, come playoff time, I don't know if they're going to be able to hang with Florida, Tampa Bay, and Carolina. And I'll even throw Boston in there. I think that they will probably win their first round against Philly or whoever. Washington. But I think Philly can give them a fight too. But if they get Tampa in the first round, I think the Rangers will be bounced. I think it's going to be in all Florida.
I think that Tampa experience just pulls through again another year.
And now you have Vasilevskiy playing like Vasilevskiy. I mean, he's starting to really play fantastic. And again, it's so much of this team's confidence was eroded so early on, and they were never able to kind of get it back. And that's a shame, because we thought, everybody thought going in, this team's built to win. But again, the one giant question mark was always the goaltending. Could these guys, you know, could it be Vanacek and Schmid going in? And it was obvious early on that it couldn't be.
It's amazing how different the season might have been if that were addressed, not even early, but let's say in the off season.
Yeah.
Because then from game one, you're getting better goaltending, which everybody feels more relaxed about. Maybe from game one, you are scoring easier because of that. And then you have no idea how that's going to project out over 82 games, feeling more comfortable. Your D knowing your goalie's back there. Your forwards knowing your D's back there. And everything kind of works in sync. it could have been that easy. I doubt it. There are a lot of problems with this team, like you said. A lot of it is construction. I bring that up a couple times because I can't stop thinking about, like, last year, the blessing that we had in a fourth line constructed of a guy like McLeod, Bastion, and Wood was magic for a fourth line. That's the type of thing that puts you over the top because most teams cannot compete with that. We did not recreate that in any way. We didn't recreate the third line in any way. And for most of the year, for my money, you had a lot of players that didn't know their identity on this team. Case in point, Timo Meier, we've been through it a million times.
I agree. 100%. And that's why this offseason is going to be the most important in franchise history. And I'm telling you, you had a small window after the season ended. The cup was awarded to Vegas. You had that window to go get Connor Hellebuyck. And I think if you would have pulled the trigger on that, I think we're definitely playing in the playoffs. I have no doubt in my mind because it's not just how bad our goaltending was. And let's just call a spade a spade. It was god awful. It was one of the worst goaltending tandems ever. They were so bad. And when you're playing in front of guys that cannot make, even go back to early in the year, just the simple save, right? The one that, they're not making the saves they should make. And they're definitely not making the saves that, they shouldn't make, the right saves above expected. These guys were garbage. When you are constantly holding your stick tighter we scored first. All right, they scored up first on us. All right, here we go. And then, how early on the season, how many times, right? They give it up in bunches, right? It's not just one and then two, three, four. And next thing you know, you're going in a third period down 4-1. And it was 1-1 5 minutes ago. And that's the problem with this team and the goaltending. And I think it just really messed with their psyche a lot. And they were never able to gain any traction. And it was just, I think the problems with this team were obvious for everybody, I think, except for Tom Fitzgerald, by Thanksgiving. By Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, we knew full well what this team was and what needed to change. And nothing changed. And when they did make the changes, we said it when it happened. It's too late. It's just too late, dude. And then when you had a chance to get Markstrom, and you don't do it, now you're going to go try and get Markstrom again in the offseason and, or go get, I don't know, Omark. I mean, it's Omark. It looks like Boston's willing to trade him. Who would you rather have?
Yeah, I mean, retrospect sucks sometimes because if you think about what we would have given up for Hellebuyck in terms of the total package, so that includes salary, players, like whatever. And then you look at how we picked Toffoli, which again, I love the move. And he did everything he was supposed to do when he's here, but it kind of threw a wrench in the team a little bit. And now the fact that he's gone and a couple players, you just look back and say, all right, damn it, should have just offered that $8 million a year contract. We definitely had the assets to overcome it. In some ways, I think it almost would have been better for us to feed into our system with more of our homegrown players. There are some guys down there that are still really good that might be a better answer on some of these wing spots just because they're going to come up and play a straightforward north-south game. And
I think Nolan Foote brings a little bit of that element, and we haven't been able to see him all year. He has not been healthy all year. I like what I've seen from Tomas Nosek and the little bit that he's been healthy. I don't know if he's signed for longer than a year with us. I'm not sure. But if he's not, that's fine. If you want to let him go, if he is here for another year, I'm okay with that too. I like him on the PK. And I think another year, if he stays healthy, he'll really start to fit in with this team.
Yeah, no six to UFA.
Okay. So
he's got a $1 million contract that's expiring this year.
Maybe they'll bring him back. I don't know. But
and I don't have anything against a guy like Thomas Nosek. I'm just saying we don't need the mix of all the ones we have right now. So if you want to go Thomas, that's fine. Then we probably don't need Tierney. No. Guy like Lazar, I say you keep. Character guy, head to tails, I want him on the team, period.
And same with Bastion.
Same with Bastion, yeah. Bastion, another guy. Like, we haven't really gotten to see him this year.
No.
But I feel like we know what Bastion is. And I think when Bastion plays within his role – he's exactly what he should be. He's going to be hard on the puck. He's going to be hard to play against. He's going to chip in with a couple odd goals here and there. He's probably got the potential for, honestly, 10, 15. You know, I don't even know how many he got last year, but just, you know, it's a shame we didn't get to see him. We're going to have a lot of talk this summer about, you know, what really would have happened had Hamilton not gone down. For example, does that mean we never see Nemec? I don't know. Maybe we see him when someone else goes down. Well, we don't, because if Siegenthaler goes down middle of the year, maybe you don't bring up Nemec. You know, maybe you're bringing up
I don't
up
think
whoever.
That you would have seen Nemec.
That's what I'm wondering.
I don't know. I don't think you would. But let me ask you a question. And I was thinking about this the other night, last night, watching the Penguin game. Would you trade Jesper Bratt for Sidney Crosby? You know, you might only get a year or two out of Sidney Crosby. He's not going anywhere. I understand. Okay. Pittsburgh is not going to trade him.
Completely.
But they're also probably most likely not going to the playoffs for the second year in a row. And there might come a time where Sidney Crosby does sit down with management and say, I really want one more crack at the cup. Hmm. And if you can get something for me, I'm okay to trade me. Now, a guy like Sidney Crosby, even in his later stages of his career, is not going to come cheap. This is why I throw this completely reckless speculation hypothetical out there. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm not even saying it should happen. I'm just saying, would you, if you got a call from, I don't even remember who the GM is over in Pittsburgh, but if you get a call from him, Dubas, right? Kyle Dubas.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, hey, Tom, I really I'm like Bob. Jesper Bratt. You're playing the part of Tom Fitzgerald.
Cool.
Hey, Tom. You say,
hey, do you have any goalies?
There you go. no, I don't have goalies, but I do have
Ryan Graves,
Sidney Crosby.
Okay.
And he wants to go to a team and take a crack at one more cup. And it looks like we're going to have to really knock things down to the studs here in Pittsburgh. I'd like to start that rebuild with Jesper Bratt. Let's say Crosby has 2 years left on his contract. You're getting him for two. But mm-hmm. Bratt is gone for the next 7 years. But you have Sidney Crosby for 2 years. Do you do it?
In all honesty, I don't think I do. I think that that's too much term left on a contract for a young guy like Bratt. And in the sports world, that really is important. And it is going to become a factor for the Devils. Our time of taking other people's money when we can, because we got all the young kids, is soon to go away. We have a lot of contracts we're going to have to give out. So I probably don't do it. I also don't know where you slot him. Is he center Jack Hughes? I mean, that's what you're thinking?
Oh, yeah.
He centers Jack Hughes, and then you get a body, a protector, a solid 20-goal scorer on the other side.
Or Mercer. Yeah. A guy like Mercer. You know, Crosby is – all right, do I do it? I don't know if I do it right now, but I will say the idea of seeing Jack Hughes playing with somebody like Sidney Crosby is so appealing to me that I could just see – Jack and Sidney Crosby just having amazing chemistry.
Interesting in that they're both, as prospects and still in general, known more for their playmaking, passing ability, but yet they both, Crosby especially, of course, with more history, have become damn good goal scorers in their own mm-hmm. right, too. So it'd be interesting to see how they would play together. You shoot it. No, you shoot it. No, you shoot it. No, you shoot it. You know?
There might be that in the beginning, but I think that they are smart enough hockey players to know what the hell they're doing. But I'm just saying, like, I'm not, again, do I do? I don't know. I think I'd have to really sleep on that one.
I know what you're getting at. I just, in my gut, I feel that the main pieces on this team are here, and they are superstars in their own right and can kind of build their own legacy. It's the pieces around them that need to change. And by having those pieces around that know a little bit more about kind of hard-nosed playoff style hockey, maybe the rest of the guys kind of fall in line and follow suit. And again, we don't want to take the creativity away from our offensive guys. We just want them to know when you go with that and when you don't.
And that's why you better make sure that the back end is tighter than a frog's ass, because you do have guys that are going to take chances, and you do have guys that are going to really push the puck up. And you know, you're going to have a guy like Hamilton or Luke or Shimon Nemish that are always going to be trying to jump into plays and stuff. And that's why you have to be, you know, rock solid in the back end. And we were anything but that. But let me propose one more trade. And it's also for Sidney Crosby. But this time, it's, I got it. Dawson Mercer and Alex Holtz for Sidney Crosby.
Okay. So this is a trade that happens this offseason.
This offseason.
Yes. So Dubas, we got Crosby Carlson for what we think is 2 more years.
Yeah, let's just say two
we
more
got
years.
Mercer, who's expiring on his type of contract.
He's a RFA, right? Yeah. After this year? Okay. And then Holtz, who the hell knew? He probably has to have some term in a contract, right, or something.
And Holtz, we're looking at, Holtz is an RFA 2025.
All right.
So he's controlled easily for another year. Mercer, this year, he can potentially get a bridge contract. Well, that is a different story now, isn't it? Because now you're not, you're giving up controllability for sure in those two players, but oh my God, 2 years of Sid. He replaces one of them instantly as far as a roster spot goes.
Yep.
So then you can argue, let's say he's replacing a Dawson Mercer, because I think that's probably the better hockey player they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be the guy that I think Pittsburgh would really go after.
So then theoretically you're losing the potential of a Holtz, who I'm in favor of keeping.
Wipe my ass with potential.
A couple years of Sidney Crosby. I might make that. I might make that because I'm pretty sure that I can fill the other void of that from the minor league system.
Or free agency.
Yes. Or free agency, right. We don't need a whole bunch of $7 million players right now. We need a bunch of $2 million, $3 million players that just know hockey.
Yeah. And
I like to hockey.
But if I like to hockey as well, I would do that move and get Sidney Crosby in a double uniform.
Yeah.
That one, Jesper Bratt's a little tough for me. He's been playing great. And I want to see this team, whatever. I like Jesper Bratt. And so I want to see whatever this team's going to go, him to be a part of it. And I like Dawson Mercer a lot too. Alex Holtz, I've said before that I would really like to see him develop in this team, but I feel like he has spots again. And the Majors just might be young, inconsistency, playing well, and then regressing again and getting benched and all the other stuff that always goes with him. Like, I don't want players anymore. Like, I just feel like I don't want to deal with any of the and Dan's coming on.
Hey,
Dan. All right, before we go any further, Dan.
Yes.
I just proposed a question to Bobby, and I'm going to propose the same question to you.
Okay.
All right. You're Tom Fitzgerald this summer, and you get a phone call from Kyle Dubas of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he says, "Hey, Tom, things are going kind of bad here. I think I'm going to have to tear things down a bit to the studs, and I got to move off some guys. And Crosby wants one more kick at that can." And
wow.
Sidney Crosby to New Jersey for Jesper Bratt. Do you make that deal? Now, let's say you only have Crosby for 2 years.
Right.
And they have total control for the next 8 with Jesper Bratt.
Right.
Do you make that deal?
Boy, that's tough. I mean, you don't get better than Crosby in the short term. Maybe it's just what you need for this kind of team, you know, a winner's attitude. He could do so much for this team. And Bratt's so iffy. He's like, you know, he's been good of late, and sometimes he just goes away. We know that's his MO. So, but he's got so much upside in the future, you know. That is not an easy call, man. I feel like I'd be more tempted to do it if I had other pieces in place. Because defensively, I don't like what we got going on. It's just not working out defensively. Maybe things get better with Hamilton in lineup, but we were talking about this last show. We need more than that.
Oh yeah.
And so if we're not going to make any other changes, but those
we're going to make some changes. Yeah. I'm just saying that that's a move that you get the call on. All right, so if Brat, I think we've all kind of, the three of us are really, it's tough to move off of Brat, even for Sidney Crosby. So let me ask you this. You get the same phone call, and it's Kyle Dubas again, and he says, all right, you don't want to get rid of Brat. Give us Holtz and Dawson Mercer for Sidney Crosby, and maybe you kick something else in, a little sweetener, guy in the AHL, something like that. Do you make that deal now?
I think that makes it easier to make that deal. Not much. I mean, you're still giving away huge upsides with guys, but you know, I think it makes it easier, and especially for Fitzgerald, right? Because he already married himself to Brat. He put a pretty big contract in front of him, so it's gotta be something that he doesn't want to end up with egg on his face. You know, people kind of sometimes don't want to dig themselves out of a hole. They just, you know, afraid they're going to dig it deeper because they already started in one direction.
How do you dig out of a hole?
I mean, you come through the other side. You got to go to China.
All the way around.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, so I think the three of us are big, three maybes, most likely not on Brat for Crosby, but I think we have three yeses on the Mercer Holtz for Crosby.
I think that's easier.
So did we just trade Sidney Crosby to New Jersey Devils? I think that's the way to go.
Can he come with Ryan Graves?
I think, you know what? I would do that. Then let's kick in.
Okay, Bobby, who wouldn't you trade for Ryan Graves?
Right. So we're going to get rid of Holtz, Mercer, and Kevin Ball for Ryan Graves.
Oh,
and,
hell yeah.
And Sidney Crosby.
Yeah. Okay. Or you want to send Marino back where he came from?
Probably throw in a few goaltenders too.
Yeah, maybe we can do that. But okay, so I like it. So Sidney Crosby as a New Jersey Devil playing with Jack Hughes, that line can be awesome. I like it. Let's do that.
Let's do that.
What did you think of the opening melee, guys? I didn't get it to hop on with you in time, but I'm just curious.
I thought it was awesome.
I mean, I was kind of like what they needed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to just come out like that. It might not have resulted in a win, but it was character.
You heard McDermott's line was starting. Then I heard that Rempe's line was starting. So you knew right off the face-off it was going to go down.
Those two were going at it, yeah.
And the whole camera just it panned in strictly on McDermott. And as soon as the puck gets dropped, everybody else drops the gloves. I love that they
that was the part in. I liked the best.
Yes. That it was
screaming. This isn't just going to be. Because I saw other gloves come off, and I'm like, pull the camera back.
I want to see it. Yeah. I want to see it all.
They weren't showing any of it. But yeah, I loved it, Dan. I mean,
now I have a question
from this team, and they all handled themselves pretty good, except for Marino, who I think Keandre Miller got the best of. But everyone else, I thought, handled themselves really good.
Right. It didn't look like that. The other three did not look premeditated to me at all, which kind of goes to my question here. Laviolette was really freaking out at Green. Now, as far as I know, they have the last change. We put the lineup in first for our line, so they knew who we're putting out there. He countered with his line, and it looked accusatory, like you put your guys out there like for all five of them to fight. And I just don't feel like, from watching Marino and I forget who else, they were just kind of standing around for a second, like, should we get in a fight now too? And just kind of skated over towards the other Rangers, and then everyone collectively decided to drop a glove. So I don't think that was premeditated.
I don't think that the whole line fight was premeditated. I think maybe Lazar knew he was going to go. McDermott definitely knew he was going to go. But as far as Laviolette going out and yelling at Travis Green and saying, if he was saying that, and I agree with you, I think that's what he was saying. You know, it's fucking Bush League. You put your guys out there. Oh, if please. I'm Travis Green, I smile at him and I go, yeah, I put him out there. I put him out there to do exactly
what they fucking did. That's the right thing to do, right?
Now go away. Go back.
If you want to see Bush League, look the way your guys, you know, let the refs escort him out off the ice last game after two dirty hits in a row against our guy. Come on.
He hasn't finished a game against the Devils. The guy has not finished a game. He's a Bush League nobody.
Yep. By the way, I took a lot of exception to something Panger said during the broadcast. He was basically saying, they just seem to be defending him a lot. He's a long, lanky guy growing into his body. which is kind of his excuse for the elbow.
It sounded like Subban too. Like he was saying the same thing. It's an accident. Yeah, come on.
I heard Panger say the same thing, and I agree with you. I got angry. It was like, no, asshole. He knew exactly what he was doing. Yeah. This isn't just a guy trying to find his way. This is a guy who knows the only way I can stay in this league is to be a complete and total douchebag. And that's what he does. And the problem is there's just like, if they make it to when they make it to the playoffs, the Rangers, don't be shocked if Rempe is scratched almost every game. He's not a guy you're going to put out there. You know, maybe if you're playing Florida, you might get him in just because you want a little bit of the tough stuff. But if you're playing somebody else, most likely he's going to be out. And I'd say this guy's out of the NHL in 2 years.
Yeah. Could very well be. I mean,
did you see Stan? Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dan.
No.
I was just going to say, did you guys see Stan Fischler at the game?
No.
I saw a clip of him there, yeah.
They interviewed him. Jackie Redmond interviewed Stan Fischler. I want to go back and check that out. He's 92 years old, man.
I saw him earlier this year at some kind of segment, and I was like, shit, dude. Now, he looked old when we started watching
hockey.
Right. Yeah, sure did. He was an old man then. And now he's an old man, and he's, you know, he's just – you can barely tell the difference, which is kind of amazing. He's like one of those guys that got old early, but still, he's 92.
He looks good, though, man.
He does. 92, he does. He looks good. Look, 92 and 62, it didn't look much different.
No, I agree.
That's something. Yeah. And, right, he still seems like he's got all his marbles, which is great.
Yeah, he does. Now, Dan, we know that Tom Fitzgerald is going to go after a goalie.
Yeah.
Who? I'm going to throw four names at you. Okay. All right. And tell me who you would rather have as our number one big game hunter, right?
Okay.
Jacob Markstrom.
Right.
Linus Ullmark.
Right.
UC Saros. All three of them you have to make trades for. Or I'll throw Lorraine Brossoit in.
Okay.
Who's a UFA.
If we take the, you know, what we're going to have to give up out of it and just saying, you know, pretend for the sake of argument. I might want Ullmark. And that's really close between him and Markstrom. And I don't think there's really a bad choice in all of what you said. You know, the Brossoit has a nice upside in that he's young. And, you know, you can have him for a very long time if things work out. Right? I'm not sure on the ages on everybody, but he's the youngest by far, isn't he? Like,
I think Brossoit is 28.
Oh, he is that old? Okay.
I think he is.
Okay.
And I don't know what Linus Ullmark is, but, you know, he's probably 30, 31, right?
Yeah, I think maybe a couple of years older, but I thought there was a bigger gap there. I might have been totally wrong on that. But, yeah,
he's 30, Ullmark.
But if the question you're asking is like, you know, hey, look, maybe we don't have to give up pieces for Brossoit, and do you want to go that way? I honestly feel like we need coaching and defensive personnel as first priority.
Brossoit's 31.
He's 31. Yeah, I'm looking that up right now. He's older than I
thought. Ullmark is 30. Markstrom, I think we said, was what, 32?
Yeah.
All right, so.
And then you got Saros, which has got to be close.
I don't know what UC Saros is. Let's see. UC Saros is 40. No, it's at 42. Like, he's not 42. Damn. What the hell, man? All right, I gotta.
He was born in 95. Help me out with this math here. He's almost
he was
what,
born 30? In 95. So, what's that? 95, 2000, like
29.
Yeah, almost 30.
Almost 30. Okay. So out of those guys, there's your ages. So Saros is the youngest.
And he has to be traded for too.
Yeah.
And we're not – right now we're not considering term asset exchange. So for me, then it's almost like you're asking me who would I take if I needed to win one game. Because otherwise, if I'm planning a team, I'm going to look at this totally different. And I think I might take Ullmark for that.
Yeah, that's the way I was leaning, Bob.
Brossoit, what I really like about that is that I just really feel that any average to a slightly above average goaltending will do us just fine. And I would love to hang on to some of our assets to use them properly for some really stud players, like we said, D-men, somebody who's really going to fit in with our core on the forward line, really construct a full team. Like, let's go right on up to that salary cap, using it as wisely as possible for the best players and make it a true team. You don't need any more superstars unless we can get like a superstar stay-at-home defenseman. Don't even know who's available and if there are. But if we don't have to trade for a goalie, which they're going to rob us blind, I mean, it's still going to be fair. No GM's going to get completely fleeced, but the price went up. So if we
are you
don't
sure
have
that
to
no GM's going
to
completely fleece? This guy has made it so known that he is going to move heaven and earth to get the goalie of his choice. And so if I'm Calgary, I'm looking at this and going, I'm going to take everything from these
I just
guys.
Wonder how much that is media fodder and not like he's an intelligent man. He's for the most part, he's done a really good job. I don't see him totally cowering to an offer that doesn't make some sense. That's what I'm saying. So, but in light of that, if you can get a goalie who is in the realm of those other three, and to be honest with you, I don't even know that much about him. So I'm assuming, first of all, I'm assuming you are telling me he's within that realm of the four.
I believe he is.
Maybe he's the weakest of the four, but he's still such an upgrade over what we already had. And if it's just money and I can use the rest of my assets, including, you know, minor league moves to get, you know, the players we need in, that's the route I would ultimately go.
Let me ask you, though, since we made the trade for Kokkonen and Allen, do you think we've received, you know, close to or, you know, maybe even better than league average goaltending?
I believe so.
And, like, when you look at the win-loss record, we know it's not where it should be. We know that these problems, like, you know, like they're beyond the goaltenders. So, like, you know, the question you ask who we're going to get this summer is a good one. We need to, you know, think carefully about it. It's got to be the best possible deal. We need somebody quality. We don't want to just let's try Schmidt again. No, that we can't do that. We know this. But I really feel the priority has to be defensive defensemen and a coaching staff that's going to employ a team defense, you know, from the forwards and a work ethic, and just no more of those flat periods, no more just dropping the ball and collapsing. I mean, those are the main problems of the Devils. Even though we know that Schmidt and Vanacek and to some extent Dawes, you know, did not perform the way they should have this year, that I still believe is a secondary problem, you know. And, getting a good goaltender is a shot in the arm, but it didn't cure what ails the Devils.
And in the first 40 minutes that you weren't here, you hit exactly on what Chris said. We both kind of resided to. It's coaching first.
Yeah.
Literally, the whole thing needs to be redone.
Yeah.
But as far as the goaltenders, I'll tell you why I like Laurien Brossoit the best out of all of them. For starters, he's 31, so he's a little bit up there. I mean, most goalies aren't really getting into their prime until 29, 30, 31 years old and really playing their best hockey. But he's never been a full-time starter. He's always had – I believe it was Seattle last year and he got injured, or was it Vegas? I don't remember. But, you know, so he's never really been the guy. Now,
you're not selling him hard to me right now.
Well, let me
get injured and he's never been the guy.
His numbers are fantastic.
Right.
And
right,
every time that he has played, every time I've seen him, he's played very well. Now, if you give a guy like that the number one, and let's say it was him and Schmidt, I wouldn't be comfortable with. I am comfortable with him and Allen. Right. I believe that a guy coming in like Brossoit, who's going to take the reins and be the number one guy, having a guy like Jake Allen, that veteran dude that's been there, done it, to kind of show him the ropes, and, you know, I think can really help a guy like Brossoit. The second main reason that I like Brossoit is what we said before. We don't have to trade anything for him. If you offer him a deal and he likes it, you sign him. He only made 1.75 this year. You're talking about anywhere from 6 to 7 million up to 9 million for the other three guys we were talking about. Right. Now, what if you just said to Brossoit, we'll give you 4 years or 3 years at 3 million? I mean, that's a steal, and it almost doubles what he's making now. And you have a cheap goalie kind of getting into his prime with a veteran solid guy backing him up, and you still have a lot of trade assets to go fix all your other problems. That's why I like Brisbois.
I think that makes sense when you look at the global picture of it, you know.
But yeah. I also would be okay if they made a move for out of the other three, if we were gonna trade, I'm with you. Omar. I'd like to make
close behind Markstrom. You'd be okay with Markstrom too, I'm sure.
I'd be okay with any of them, but if I had to pick, but I also think that that might be the team that you're going to pay the most for.
Yeah, that's a good point.
With Boston. So it's like, yeah, depends really what you are giving up for each team.
That's very true. And and you know what? They'd be less likely to deal with us too, because, you know.
Right. And how anxious are we going to be to deal with them?
Right.
I mean, do you want to face Alex Holtz or Dawson Mercer, you know, three times a year? Rather face them twice. Well, I guess it's really only three times a year. So who gives a shit? Unless you hit them in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a possibility. Let's see.
Sure. Sure it is. Well, let me do this quick little DraftKings read because I didn't do this yet. And we're almost an hour in. And we know hockey games move fast. You know what else moves fast? Devil leads in the third period. They go by so fast, you don't even know they were there. But with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. And this week, new customers can bet $5 and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. You all know the disclaimers, right? Just, you know, gamble responsibly. Void in Ontario. Hope NY. The crown is yours. That's it. We're good.
Very good.
At the 55-minute mark. So anyway, Dan, did you get to watch the whole game?
No, I did not. I had to do a family thing tonight. So I got to listen in at times, catch, recaps on the phone of, periods, stuff, highlights. It was the game I regret most missing this year because I really was looking forward to this.
Now, you had a lot to say after the last Ranger game about the way the Devils fell apart. Yeah. You wrote a nice article about it. Do you feel like they responded tonight? Even though it was an L, do you feel like they wanted them to bring?
I think so, from what I've seen with the highlights and everything else so far. I've got to watch the replay. And I didn't see how we fell apart in the third very well. You know, just know that we did. And
same way we always do.
Yeah, exactly. I could imagine how it happened. I'm pretty sure I'll be right with some couple guesses.
The third goal is just just a series of unfortunate events.
Yeah.
And it's Jesus Christ, this is the Devil's season in a nutshell right here. So, yeah.
It's true. It's such a bad thing, especially if you're going to speak in we are semi in public, to sit there and bemoan bad luck, because there's a lot more to bad luck going on. But I swear to God, this team, when they need a little luck, they can't get it. Just a little bit of luck to get you through some crap you play once in a while would have gone a long way here and there throughout the season. So I'm not surprised to hear you say that. I do from the opening whistle, this is what they needed. It's kind of they heard what the fans were saying. You showed no heart that game. You should have taken that loss personally, the way you let yourselves be abused and didn't do much about it last game. So they kind of, did even the score that way. And you know what? Better than McDermott fighting to have the whole line, you know, going out. And that's what I wanted, right? And if you remember, I think we all kind of agreed, it's not about just the fighting or Rempe. It's about, showing some team cohesiveness. You can't do that much better than that. Maybe if we cleared the benches too. That's about all.
That would have been awesome.
It would have been. I wouldn't mind if they went down nasty in the third period, win or lose. If you ask, what did I really want from that game? I wanted a little headhunting too. I didn't mind going out, and I get it. And maybe it's the higher road to take, and that's fine. We could all feel, oh no, we're not going to go after Panarin. No, I'm not sending somebody with an elbow after him. I would have been okay with that. And I would have been okay with hobbling the Rangers going into the playoffs. But,
it did turn out to look like they turned
the corner a little bit and showed some guts, right?
And it did turn out to be a fun game. I mean, it was a good game to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, especially third period was back and forth. It didn't go our way, but it was
great till the end. Like you said, game. It was a fluky play that led to the tying goal with a broken stick and then a partial breakaway. There's not much you could do about that. But, Dan, did you get a chance to see Dawson Mercer sticking up for a teammate?
So that I missed because
Well, I was driving, and but my daughter was looking at it in the back seat, just watching, you know, and she said, "Yeah." I'm like, "Wait, on the opening faceoff?" She said, "No, he had another fight." So yeah. How did that go down?
Well, Cooley hit Smith. It was a boarding call. Should have been a boarding. Well, it was a boarding
right.
call.
It was a boarding call. Boarded, right?
So he hit him, and then it was behind the net. Mercer just took exception to it and dropped the gloves and started duking it out with Will Cooley. Yeah. And,
he was like the second man back, too. He came away to get at him, which was appreciated. Yeah. He gave up, what, 30 pounds and 3 inches to the guy.
Yeah,
held his own. Did really well.
I can't remember seeing Mercer act like that. I'm kind of impressed.
I think there was one other time, like 2 years ago, he got into a scrap. It's been a while. But, you know, that was good to see. And yeah, I guess, like, before we wrap it up, I do want to just ask Dan, too, like, do you have confidence that this team will be back next year?
Yes, I do. I'm confident that the correct moves will be made. If the correct moves aren't made, and we go into next season with wrong moves made or just not some of the things, at least getting half of what we're talking about we want this offseason, I'm going to be less confident. I'm going to be worried that we're going to end up on the outside looking in again. But I think that despite, you know, an uneven year, let's call it, for Fitzgerald, I have confidence that he can right the ship. I do at this point right now. And I'm hoping that, you know, this game and the rest of the season, you know, they just kind of really take it to heart the way this was such a missed opportunity. And the group of guys, you know, have a bitter pill that they leave with the summer and not just with giant smiles off to the golf course. Like, cause you never know what to expect. These pro athletes
have,
you know, great lives to carry on with in the offseason. You really want, as a fan, is for them to feel hungry and pissed off and ready to come back with, you know, a real mission next year.
And that's what I meant.
The personnel in, yeah.
Definitely. That's what I meant on the last show when I said I wanted them to get really close. And then, you know, the joke started, which was fine. But I really wanted them to realize, like, if they miss the playoffs by 2 or 3 points, I want them to be able to look back and say, we know the teams we should have beat. It's okay to have a bad season sometimes and struggle the whole time and still kind of make it in. But if they were to literally miss by 2 or 3 points and to look back and say all those losses to San Jose, Anaheim, et cetera, that's the lesson I wanted to get out of it. I never want my team to lose. I told Chris when we started the show, like, I just want to watch every game and like pray and have them go in, but it's not going to happen.
No. Bob's found religion in hockey.
That's right.
Right. The balls.
You know, so many times you hear people say that for when a team overcomes, let's say a team, you know, goes into the playoffs and has a really bad loss, or, you know, they should have gone further. Tampa Bay getting swept by Columbus, and, you know, even I'll say the Rangers last year getting beaten by us.
Yep.
That they come back the next year, they learn from those mistakes and they get further, they win a cup. Could this season act as that for the Devils? Could they come back next year and actually win the cup like Vegas did? I mean, Vegas had been in the playoffs ever since their inception. And then the 1 year they don't make the playoffs, it kind of mirrors this season for the Devils, plagued by injuries, were never able to get back on track. Gerard Gallant couldn't really pull the right strings, and he ends up getting fired, and they come back next year. Or not Gallant, I'm sorry. Whoever it was, they fired coaches all the time. But anyway, comes back next year and wins the cup. Could that be this team? Could this be that horrible playoff loss? Could it be that big lesson just happened to take a full 82-game season to really turn this team around?
It totally could. You can't say that's a lock. I mean, you know, we'll have plenty of time to make predictions that nobody could possibly confidently predict, but in general, there's reason to think that that's very possible, you know. So
yeah.
I don't doubt it that it's possible. What I mean, if you had to handicap that, Bob, what kind of odds though you think that would be the case? That's tough.
Everything's in the realm of possibility, but one caveat is I would say not as this team's currently constructed.
Right.
It's not like this entire team can come back and we'll be Stanley Cup contenders. I will not believe that.
Yeah, I mean, most if we had no team. Changes in personnel,
right.
What's your level of confidence going into next year? I mean, maybe there's slightly higher because we've got goaltending that we didn't
slightly
have.
Slightly higher and a couple guys are a couple years older, sure, but you can't do that. But even if, again, these moves that Fitzgerald makes aren't the flashiest, a league average goaltender or better, a true solid stay-home defender or two,
yeah,
and a couple of guys that can slot in on the forward group with proper roles, right, then I would have all the confidence in the world that this team has what it takes to be that, you know, Cinderella story next year.
Yeah.
We just got to make the move first.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries.
My daughter's in Connecticut, so she just called me.
Cool.
Heading back to the dorm Connecticut. Yeah. Connecticut. It was so strange. Like, she's telling me, she's driving, like, yeah, I've done that trip lots of times.
Part of that trip was going through Connecticut.
Rhode Island would have been so much closer without that stupid state. Yeah.
Hop right through New York, boom, Rhode Island. Be great.
I kind of never liked Connecticut.
No, since the Whalers left, what's there to like?
Yeah, I know.
No. It's the
did see a couple good Dave shows there, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to one.
Hartford, did some camping. Pitched the tent the wrong way when we got a rainfall.
And we woke up under fucking water.
Yeah.
Do you remember that we drank a bottle of tequila before that show?
Was that the same show? I remember
It was the same show because we everybody, there was a bunch of us, right? And everybody pitches their tents, and me and you, whoever, I think it was you, pulled out a bottle of tequila and even had the training wheels with it. We found a little stump.
Yeah, remember? That's right. We found the stump. We killed that bottle.
Fucking whole bottle.
And well, here's the thing, though. I didn't have all the training wheels. So we improvised. I feel like in unison, we looked at each other and just realized we can lick our own hands and get some salt.
Because it's tequila. So hot out.
I did not bring salt.
Okay.
You need the salt.
Yeah,
that was a fun. That was a fun weekend. And then we got so fucked up, we went back to the campsite, passed out in the tent, woke up underwater, and then spent the next 3 hours at the fucking campsite laundromat.
You wake up the next day and realize, oh, you turned the tent. Yeah,
there were bottle rockets in the middle of the night. Bottle rockets going on.
That was a different camp time. That was in concert. Vermont,
right?
That was in upstate New York. That was in Turin, New York, at this Snow Ridge ski resort, and you wouldn't come out of your tent. And it was the middle, so we were walking back from a concert. We were walking, now we were like the furthest campsite away from the music grounds. And now you're walking in pitch black.
Wait, this is not the Modown we're talking about.
This is the Modown,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, the first Modown. You don't remember this?
I remember this. I just thought you guys were talking about a Dave show. Right.
These guys started lighting bottle rockets.
Yeah.
And our tent was kind of on a little flat up the hill.
Yeah.
And these dudes shot a bottle rocket and went right underneath Dan's fucking tent. And it goes off and he comes out in his underwear. Oh, what the fuck was that? And we were cracking.
Dude, that was such a good weekend.
We left Turin, New York that weekend. My face hurt. I remember hearing him. I don't laugh so much.
That was so great. That was also the weekend that I was quite inebriated at the far stage. Again, we were like the third furthest camping. And a couple of our friends decided to go beat me to the tent and pick it up and turn it around so that I knew where the fucking door was. But I kept scratching at the back of the tent, trying to get in the door. There's no door.
I can remember that.
They come back after the show. I'm just sitting there on the stump, like dejected. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I can't find the door.
It's gone, guys. It's gone. The stump is there.
I don't know what happened. The door's gone. You could have gone in one of the other four tents.
God,
that was fucking funny. What a great weekend that was. And the music was fantastic, dude. It was
so good.
Primus or Les Claypool, Mo, Lonnie DeFranco was there, David Grisman, so many great bands. That was a lot of fun. All right, well, I think we're going to wrap this one up for the evening, we'll be back on Saturday, and we also have predictions we got to add on Saturday, because Tim Wood threw predictions in, so we'll talk about that on Saturday definitely. When we do our next predictions. And we are going to talk about possibly changing the prediction format for next season, Dan, so maybe we'll bring that up on the next show.
Predict it'll be better.
And hopefully it'll be a little bit better.
Yeah.
So wherever you're checking us out, subscription, a 5-star review, positive comment helps us out in moving this Little Devil podcast along. For Dan and Bobby, I'm Chris. We are the Uncle Puckers, and we'll see you when we see you.
Puckers out.
Bye.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!